To us today, we need to be like these guys here. So good to have you guys in the worship service today. Thank you for coming up to the front with me. We're going to bow our heads here together, and we're going to pray to the Lord Jesus. Okay, let's bow our heads together, and let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for these, our little children. We thank you that you are with us. You are with us and you welcome us. You sat and you welcomed the little children onto your lap. And you held out your hand and you blessed them, Lord. We receive your blessing upon our heads even today. As we, like little children, are up in your lap even now. And we feel your comfort and we feel your love upon us today. Thank you for the reminder of how you bless us and how you want us to love you in return, as a little child loves their parents, as they love their mom and dad. Lord, we ought to love you in kind. And so, Lord, we pray to you that you would be so lifted up in our hearts and in our minds this morning. Thank you that you call us to a great purpose and a great mission for your church. We pray for ourselves, Lord, as we go, that we know always your comfort and your touch upon us and your blessing upon us. You say anywhere that we go in this world, Lord, there you are with us. We thank you for that. We pray over our teachers this morning as they go and teach our young children this morning. Lord, bless them as they teach. Give them divine words to speak into these hearts. Help them to shape and mold each of these children, Lord, for your glory's sake. We just commit them unto you today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Thank you, children. God bless you as you go to your class and as you worship God continually. Bye-bye. So we have a special treat in having Pastor Chim Choswell with us this morning. He comes with a lot of varied experience. He spent quite a bit of time in Côte d'Ivoire or Ivory Coast. Côte d'Ivoire, of course, is a French-speaking place, so you can speak French to Tim. And it's such a blessing to have him here. Last night, we had our Taste of the World. Tim also spoke, as well as Joe and Cora. Joe and Cora, as you know, have been serving in the southern part of Asia. So we want to continue to remember them in prayer. But we're so blessed to have Tim. Tim's working at our district office now and goes around to a lot of churches and speaks about his service and his time in serving God in the mission field. And so we're so pleased that he could come and join us today. And unfortunately, his wife isn't here, but he's here. And he's representing his entire family. So, Tim, welcome. Blessings, brother.
Merci. I'm going to hang on to it. Thank you. Bonjour. When I have the time and I don't have to get interpreted, I tell people, get ready. I speak in tongues. See, but the Bible says, where there are tongues, there must be interpretation. So if at some time you don't understand what I'm saying, the next phrase will be that obligatory interpretation, okay? Because I talk the French, and I like to talk the French, and I like to wake people up. You know, you're not bad, because you speak 45 languages already. But the average Canadian church, they think the whole world speaks English. Yoo-hoo! Ain't that. And so, it is a major You know, I just was in the Mandarin service, and every time I say something, I want to stop and, no, we don't have to, we don't have to. Okay, so I'm going to get going. Yes, it is a huge privilege for me to be here with you, and I don't take lightly the privilege of sharing God's Word, speaking from the Word of God. I have nothing to say except what's in the Word, but it's such a privilege to be able to talk about the wonderful God that we serve. And this morning, we're going to look at Psalm 96. And we're going to end up reading the whole thing as we go. And he said something about stopping before noon, right? I'm from Africa, you know. You know, in Africa, in the Baoli language, the people we worked with for 17 years in Ivory Coast or Côte d'Ivoire, this crazy white man would come to a village and he'd build a building and then he'd have this thing in the front, and every hour it would go doink, doink, you know, a few times. You might figure out what that is. So in the Baoli language, do. Do means hour. So we do know hours, minutes. It's not our specialty, but we'll work on it. But we're going to look at Psalm 96. But before we get going, we have to talk about what Psalm 96 is about. Bringing the ark to Jerusalem. It wasn't back to Jerusalem. Bringing the ark to Jerusalem. David had built a tent for the ark, and it was coming back to Jerusalem for worship with the ark present. And when he did that, you read about it in 1 Corinthians 16, he gave a psalm to the priests to sing at this occasion and around this occasion. I don't know, seems to me that it was pretty much a Jewish gig. And in 1 Chronicles 16, it's longer than Psalm 96. There's more there. And there is mention of the Jews and the covenant. But this portion of that chapter, Psalm 96, only speaks of the nations. What's that? Israel's worship and the nations. I'm afraid that sometimes we see worship as a kind of warm, fuzzy thing, just me and Jesus, hallelujah. Feels so good. In a lot of West African churches, they have the time of louange, les chants de louange, and that means it's rowdy time. We're praising. And my Ghanaian friend, he told me, in Africa, we don't dance in the church. We shake our body to the glory of God. So this is during the les chants de louange and the praise songs, they shake their body to the glory of God. It's rowdy, it's fun, blah, blah, blah. But then we get serious. And we're going to have les chants d'adoration, the songs of worship, real worship. So real worship is when you sing the schmaltzy, whoa, and it's wonderful, oh, feels so good. All too often, that worship is centered not on God, but on me. I'm taking care of me. And sometimes we focus on ourselves rather than the one to whom we are to be giving glory. And this morning from Psalm 96, we're going to see some really neat things about worship. What is worship? I love this, you know. Evidently, Daniel Webster was a senator. He was a great man in the States, and he also wrote a dictionary, you know. Something to do on your day off. And in 1828, he wrote a definition for worship that I think is great. Isn't it great? To worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. Sometimes we worship with, and maybe that's love, but all too often it doesn't carry into a full worship that includes submission. John Piper gives a good definition. True worship is a valuing, putting value on, or a treasuring of God above all things. The most important part of our lives. And then he gives Romans 12:1. Romans 12:1. I'd like to see how many people have memorized this. It is such an important passage. We're not going to make you put your hand up. Okay. But he said, Paul says to the Romans, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your spiritual service of worship. Piper takes out of that, all of our bodily life done in love for others and in reliance upon God displays the worth of God above all things and makes us worshipers in our daily life. I think I want to go along with him and say that, you know, there's something special about those worship times, and there's not many mushball people that are more mushball than me, and I love worshiping, and you'll see me crying, and I'm enjoying the glorious presence of God, and His Spirit works in us. But that's not all there is to worship. And when we have a worship service, I like slapping people upside the head and saying, we worship by showing our trust in God and giving, giving beyond what we can give. We worship by listening to God. We worship by going out and obeying. It's all of life. It's not just singing, although the singing is a wonderful, wonderful part of it. And you, your desire is to worship in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. We are launched. You sort of like prepared my message. Wonderful. But when we look at Psalm 96, oh yes, all of body life, I'll let you read that again. Everything we do in love for others, reliance upon God, displays the worth of God above all things and makes us worshipers in our daily life all the time. Can you take that big round thing down up there off the wall? It's screaming at me. They won't, will they? Okay. Oh, well, we're going to hear it though pretty soon. So, in the hymn book, I'm afraid that some people get bothered by practical things in worship services. And so missions, that's like work, and that's not like really worship. I love looking at the hymn book of the Jews. In the hymn book of the Jews, 150 psalms, and in those psalms, 72 times you're going to find word about the nations. The nations were part of the worship of Israel. The peoples, 34 times. All the earth, 25 times. The earth, 113 times. All the earth, repeated. All the peoples, 5 times. In the worship of Israel, the nations played a part. And in the time of Jesus, they were so focused in on themselves. That was never the plan of God. From the day that God told Abraham, I'm gonna bless you. And through your family, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Hallelujah! Some people were there last night. Thank you. You put my heart at ease. And if you don't agree with me, say, no, maybe not. Okay? Hopefully we'll make it okay. So, the hymn book of the Jews of Israel included the nations in worship. So, depending on how you count in this psalm, you're going to find 12 references to other nations than Israel. And so worship should take into account the nations, God's desire to bless them, to bring them into relationship with himself. And that's what this psalm does. So, what does the psalm say? First off, orders for worship. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, you Jews. And nobody else. Come on, hallelujah, scream, no! No, all the earth. Read it with me. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Hallelujah. That's God's plan. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Not just you little folk, you Jews. Aren't you great? Glad that he included the Norwegians in that. And he included the Chinese. Hallelujah. So good. So, so, so good. There's a little problem here, a triple command. Many of you know that for the Jews, if it's said 3 times, I get bothered by little things that different companies have. And Nike has it right. What does Nike say? Just do it. Hallelujah. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Hallelujah. So the idea is all of the earth, the Lord intended for them to sing. And as we worship, Israel invited the nations in their worship as they read this psalm or as they recited this psalm. And we're called to the same thing. What does it say? More orders. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Tell of what he's done to redeem people. His salvation. Tell of what he's done to redeem people to himself. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Here we got to get the nations idea straight. We're not talking about geopolitical entities. We're not talking about countries as that. There are 200 and some countries in this world. It's fun. A lot of people come, or some people, do you speak African? Yeah, right. There's 1,500 different languages in Africa. And so Africa's 50-some states. But in each one of those states, little country of Benin, where we served for 5 years, you can fit it six times in the province of Alberta. Seven in BC, maybe? More than 50 different languages, more than 50 different groups that consider themselves different than their neighbor. Some have a common language with the dialect differences. That's what nations are. And God's intent is that every one of them would be represented before the throne. We're going to talk about that at the end, but that's his plan. And so, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. It's people groups, it's ethnic groups that he's talking about. And they are all to be before the throne on the day when we get to glory. And so this is part, as we worship, we need to be talking about declaring that glory. Alleluia!
Amen.
Reasons for worship. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, things made by people, but the Lord made the heavens. Do you understand the difference of that? All the gods of the world, in my encounter working with animists who worshiped all kinds of little gods, the gods like to hide because they've got nothing. Our God reveals himself because he is the Lord. He is the creator of all things. Hallelujah. Do you understand? We need to come back home to that all the time. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. We are so, so, so blessed. In Iraq, you may have heard they're saying ISIS makes the converts. We just baptize them. You see, ISIS is showing Allah for what he really is in the Quran. Allah is not worthy of praise. And many people are leaving, coming to Jesus because of ISIS is living out a Quranic Islam. And that's all there is to it. And being a nice Canadian, we have to say the truth. And it's showing up. ISIS is living out that Quranic version. And it's turning people away from Islam. Alleluia. And they're coming to Jesus, that one who is worthy of praise, that one who is above all. Just this last couple of weeks, we've heard about Niger, where we worked for 11 years, 2005 to 2016. In the safest corner, the southwest corner of the country, where Lisa Rourke, some of you know of Lisa Rourke, she's worked there since 2005 or 6, and often going out there. And in the last few weeks, extremists have been coming. They come into a village, they burn the school, they make the people gather to listen to their extremist Islamic message, Quranic message, and they make everybody pay their tithe. Did you know that in Islam there is a tithe? It's called the zakat, only it's not a tithe, it's 2.5%, it's 1/40, but it's 1/40 of all you own and earn. So they go and count a guy's cows, and they take 1/40. And if you don't like it, there's not a problem. We got a bullet for you. It is really, really hideous. And we're praying that the Lord will do what he's doing in Iraq. Open people's eyes. We've been loving people in the name of Jesus for several years in that corner of Niger. And we're praying that the Lord will tear down the wall, that he'll expose that faith for what it really is, that people will come, chased by ISIS, to Jesus. The Lord, our Redeemer, he can do that. He is the one who is above all. He is the one who created it all. Hallelujah. And he's our God. And as we worship him, we've got to think about that. He is worthy of the praise of all humanity. Amen?
Amen.
Then splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Alleluia. He is the one who is truly worthy. Splendor and majesty. If you read in the Quran, Allah, it is so sad. He does what he wants to do, righteousness, justice. He does his own thing. He's above people. And it's so sad. Our God's splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory. That's our God. Now, some more orders. But these orders are not to the Jews who are listening and saying this. This is to others. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord the glory and strength. Here's an order for the nations. It's calling them to know. They're invited to come and understand the God of Yahweh and to give him proper recognition. He is impressive. He is powerful. And they're invited to come and to worship him. And then, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. It seems the Jews never really liked this part. And so we see Jesus getting mad because a part of the temple was the court of the Gentiles designed for them to come. It was always a part of Jewish worship. They were invited to bring an offering. And the Jews used it for a market. And Jesus got upset about it. But the story's there. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering. Do something tangible. Ascribing to him the glory due his name. By the way, did you catch that? Three times, and it means just do it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Ascribe to the Lord glory. Then, worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Honor him with extravagant love and extreme submission. I looked online as I was studying for this, and our friend Sundar Krishnan, Rexdale Church in Toronto, took 7 messages to talk about this verse. There is so much there. The splendor of his holiness. To tremble before him, all the earth. This wonderful fear of the Lord, which is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. That's our Lord. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. And then something that the world really doesn't know very much about, I'm afraid. He will judge the peoples with equity. Justice, equity. Canadians, we need to fight that it stays in our country. But in Africa, where I've lived, equity and the rulers don't always go together. Very often do not go together. But our Lord, he will judge the peoples with equity. And he's got it all together. Do you realize that when you woke up this morning, the Lord had it all together? And we can come back to that absolute certainty. He is working all things together for our good. Hallelujah! As we love him, we're called according to his purpose. He's in control. And the rest of the world doesn't have that, folks. And we do. No matter if it's fun, no matter if it's good, apparently, or if it's very, very hard. He is in perfect control. Alleluia. So then it widens out. And he calls all of creation. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. And when we hear judge, like it's sort of like, oh, judge. But there's a lot of stuff that needs to be judged. But he will judge the world in righteousness. You know what righteousness is? Righteousness is stuff that's right. It's the way it's supposed to be. And God, who is the creator, put it together the way it's supposed to be, and he will judge it according to the way it's supposed to be. And he'll judge the peoples in his faithfulness. Do you come home often to the wonderful fact of the faithfulness of God? And if we are unfaithful, he will not be unfaithful, for he can't deny himself. That's our God. He is the faithful one. And that's how he will judge the peoples and the world. in righteousness and faith. That's our God. And as we worship him, we invite all of creation to rejoice with us. And then we look at where we're going. You know, you always think about where you're going. Do you have enough gas to get where you're going? Is it going to be possible to get there? Where we're going, folks, is to the throne. And his plan has always been that all the families of the world would be blessed through the children of Abraham, which we have become. His program has always been from the very beginning that they would all be together. And Jesus said, I'm not coming back until all of them have heard, all the peoples. And so we have this picture, and you're going to forgive me, but I don't read this anymore without crying. It is so beautiful. And we've got to stop and understand the beauty of it. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes, were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, the one who is in control, and to the Lamb. Hallelujah! That's the plan. And Jesus isn't going to come until it's done. There are 16,700 different groups in the world that need to hear the gospel, that each people group needs to hear the gospel in a way that they understand. 9,000 or so have received it, and they have a church among them that can tell them about it. But there's another 6,700 or 7,000 who have nobody to tell them. They won't be at the throne right now, and Jesus is going to wait until they have the occasion to hear. And that gives us this job. As we worship, it's got to flow over. It's got to flow to our family, to our friends, the people around us, our Jerusalem. And as you spoke this morning of praying that the Spirit of God would come in and as we worship, that he would fill us. The word is, as he comes in, we will be witnesses. We're not going to work really hard and be witnesses. We're not going to have to take a whole bunch of courses. The Spirit of God in us, we will be. Statement of fact. What we will be. Essence. Witnesses in Jerusalem. As our worship bubbles over, our family, our friends close. Then in Judea and Samaria, people a little different, a little further away, to the ends of the earth. Hallelujah. That's the plan. And so we're part of a group. We've got 400 and some churches in Canada. And we got 6 million people meeting in Alliance churches around the world today. Well, some have already met, of course, and some we're going to meet later because this world's a little time mixed up. 20,000 different churches to over 20,000. And meeting in 31 different languages. And as Pastor Larry said, our DNA, we understand the importance of mission. We need to worship in such a way, live our lives, every part of our lives, in such a way that we're honoring God with extravagant love and extreme submission so that it overflows and it touches the nations. And we will come to that day together with all, reps from all the nations. Quickly, some of my the friends from Niger who will be there, Mac, told his dad he was going to follow Jesus, kicked out of the house. And Jesus is taking care of him. And then there's Harry. Harry is a former Muslim leader, an imam, who is now leading people to Jesus. And men come to him at night because they don't want anybody seeing them come. And then there's Bo. We call this guy Bo. He was accused of stealing cattle, and he was thrown in jail. And he told our colleague Lisa, I have so much joy in my faith that I can forget I'm in prison. Well, 2 weeks ago he was released, hallelujah, although he was declared innocent like almost a year ago. Just the process, they let it drag on. But while he was there, he won people to Jesus, hallelujah! So exciting, he's going to be at the throne. But I'm praying for my friend Mo. My friend Mo, who's an influencer, who really was working with us to help his people. He hasn't accepted Jesus yet. And then there's this young man, a friend of my assistant. He's afraid to come to Jesus. And then there's our old friend Ruga. Ruga's a very influential man. Ruga means the negotiator, because the Fulani always get in trouble. Their cattle get in the fields of the farmers, and there's fighting, and there's often killing. But he's always at the court pleading for the youth. He is a very important man. He's 70-some, and he believes that the gospel is true, but he says, I'm an old man, I can't change. In the last few months, he's been found to have a growth in his bladder, and we're afraid he's not going to be around very long. And we're praying that he, the Spirit of God, will come and tear down that wall, make him see that he needs to come to Jesus, that he would be with us at the throne. Some of our friends, and we need to be looking. We need to praise God for every second that we have of praising him and experiencing that wonderful fullness of his Spirit in our lives, that emotional wonder of worship. But we need to understand that in the morning when we wake up, right to the evening when our head hits that pillow, we are living worship. And worship that doesn't focus on us, it focuses on God, and through us, it touches the nations. May the Lord help us to look and do that, that our worship would touch the nations. Let's pray. Holy Father, we just rejoice in your incredible goodness. You are above all gods. You created the heavens. You are the true God. And Lord, we ask that you'd help us to understand that and help us to worship you in spirit and truth, and let the worship flow in every part of our lives, that the world would see and that they would be brought to you, that the nations, Father, through what you do through us, the nations would come and prepare that day when together we'll be before the throne and we'll all say together that salvation belongs to our God. We give you praise and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Pastor Tim. We have a special opportunity today to take an offering, and this is our Jaffrey offering. As we had our video last week to explain to us a little bit more about some of the details of that, it is printed in your bulletin and your announcements, just all the different groups there that this offering is going to be touching. The Belize, Hindus, the urban professionals in Mexico, the Fulani we heard about today, the Wolof in Senegal, the Yazidi in North Iraq, all people groups that we are seeking to touch with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, for your offering envelopes, if you're going to offer towards the Jaffrey project, you need to write Jaffrey on there. And the spelling is before you in the bulletin. Sometimes I always confuse where that R goes, you know, in Jaffrey. Is it before the A or after the A? But I think they'll get it if you put a J-A-F-F, you know, something on the end there. Jaffrey, Robert Jaffrey, great missionary statesman, cried over the world, those that were so needy to hear the gospel, and went himself and served in China and other parts of Southeast Asia. He is a great statesman and a great example and a model for us. And so our denominational head here in Canada, Dave Hearn, has put this upon us as a church in these past 2 years, this being our second year, to raise up monies to go towards reaching out to these least reached peoples. So as you give today, give in way of a prayer, give in way of a worship towards God, that God's word and God's worth is going out into the nations. So ushers, come forward with the offering bags. And as they come, our pianist is going to play a little music on the piano for us. And pray and ask that God's glory might be seen in the nations as you give, as people give today towards the Lord. Amen. Together. Ushers, come down to the front. Pray over this offering that God has blessed us with. Thank you so much for giving towards the Lord. And I know it's not just on this Sunday that you give. There are offering boxes at the back that we give regularly in. So thank you for giving towards the Lord and for His glory's sake. Let's pray over this offering as it relates to these people groups that we seek to reach out to as the Alliance denomination here in Canada. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for blessing us with the material wealth that we have. We thank you that this small portion represents our gift of love towards people that are needy and desperate to hear, to know the love of Jesus in their lives. We pray over them that these things, these offerings, would be used in such a way as to minister to these people groups as we've heard of them. Lord, there's so many more people groups. And even last night as we tasted the world, Ray reminded us that there's so many other people groups that we can take a card for and to pray over. Lord, we pray that you would so bless our world, that all nations, as we have heard today, would receive and know the gospel and would be able to stand before that great throne and be able to worship together in robes of white and palm branches in our hands. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. May that be our benediction this morning. And may you go out in a spirit of joy and peace. And also, I'd have you just turn to your bulletins just briefly for an announcement. Just want to remind you, again, in way of a few things here. Our men's group is going to be meeting next week for breakfast, the 24th on the Saturday. And then we have our Christmas banquet and also our children's choir. And they're both going to be outside with two tables outside that you'll need to pick up tickets for. So our children's choir performance, there's two of them, three and also at 7:30. So as those fill up, we're going to try to move people towards either one of those performances. So these are opportunities to invite friends to. They're not just meant for ourselves to enjoy. They're meant to reach out to our neighbor, invite them, welcome them, and to enjoy something together with them. Also, our Christmas banquet, the tickets are not for sale. We're going to be doing a potluck and also cooking some turkeys and some hams, and it's going to be at the Wilson Center in Poco. So you'll need to get a ticket for that and write down what kind of potluck dish you will want to bring to it. We will be cooking some extra food for it, for guests and friends that come. We have spaces for 250 people at the Wilson Center in Poco. So this is going to be our celebration meal. So please do consider prayerfully who you can invite. So you can pick up tickets today, or you can pick up tickets next week for this event. But then the Saturday will be upon us on December the 1st, so it happens quite quickly. And Christmas will be upon us in way of all the Advent ceremony and everything else that we do in the church. So please avail yourselves of those tickets today. Also, our shoe boxes in celebration, we want to say thank you so much. 127 boxes were given from Westwood Alliance Church. I think, that's great, isn't it? So thank you for making up shoe boxes and giving to those in our, not in our community, because those boxes will be going worldwide. Also, you'll note that there's a few other announcements there. Please do come and join us for our coffee time after the service, just down the hallway in Connections. So please welcome each other. We have a few guests that are amongst us even today. And do shake Tim's hand and speak a little French to him. Oui. And so good to have each of you here. God bless you as you go into your week. I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry